Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Attention bitches, you're listening to the DJ New Style Show. I'm currently stealing your prescriptions and inviting all my friends to your motherfucking house. Eat shit, motherfuckers. Love you all.
Show.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat, and I can bug out to it.
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and diss you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey, safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark, we proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
And the homos didn't touch it.
Are you guys having a killer time?
Oh, yes.
Sweet.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Hey, Donna! Did you start the coffee yet?
Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the DJ New Style Show, exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. Now, I'm not going to sit here and just spout off all this grandiose bullshit about how awesome the next 2 hours are going to be. No, I'm going to let Rammstein do that.
Woo!
2 hours straight of angry Germans. Nah, maybe not. Maybe not. Let's fade that out professionally. Because the last thing we want is an amateurish fade-out of a song. And we will fade up a certain bald man from a certain basement. You know him, I know him, we kind of tolerate him. The Germ Freak. How you doing, Frank?
Hey, what's up, Ken? New style, how you doing?
What's the voice? I don't understand.
Just want to say how everything was today.
What's the voice? I don't understand. What are you doing?
Nothing. I'm trying new voices out. I just want to try this one out. That's all. Hey, Ken, did you get your hair cut today?
Yes, I did.
Was the guy blind?
No, he was not. He was actually sighted.
Oh, okay.
And I really don't get your joke.
It's an awful haircut.
You're saying that I have an awful haircut. Okay. Well, then the same that you're saying about my barber could be said about God with your haircut. Because you're fucking bald. Do you understand? You're fucking bald and you perpetually have a bad haircut. Every day that you wake up, your haircut is terrible.
You know what? Let me go back to my real... You fucked up today. You fucked up with the Rammstein, because you usually say it real loud, but you fucked up today, didn't you? Admit it.
I don't see you doing anything different except for doing a terrible voice that went nowhere. Yeah.
What's up, Ken? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Frank. I'm doing all right. It's Lent. It's Lent, and I'm struggling.
Yes.
I'm trying to drink better things. Not that I drink terrible things. I'm enjoying a nice orange seltzer that I picked up 5 for $2. Amazing deals. Amazing deals at your local ShopRite.
Did you pick it up, or did your mommy pick it up? Be honest.
I went shopping, and I bought my own stuff.
Oh, okay.
I bought my own stuff. I'm a man, Frank.
I understand that.
The thing is, I could ask you where, you know, if the same thing about your food, your items, and I could still say, did your mommy pick it up? Because, as we know, your wife, Donna, doubles as your second mom.
I guess you could say that.
She mothers you.
Whatever.
She has sex with you. She's had 3 of your children, and she's your mom, basically.
You know, I had a step grandfather who used to call my grandmother Ma. So I was wondering if I could call her Ma too, but she said no.
Like an old Southern couple?
Right, right. Like the old man would call the
Ma
the wife
Jenkins
Ma.
And Pa Jenkins. They were
a good
couple until.
And I wanted to call her Ma, but she didn't go for it.
Yeah, well, that's a terrible idea. Maybe that's why she didn't go for it, because she has some kind of sense. She's a smart woman, and I would say that she gets everything right. When was the last time she made a mistake?
When she killed our bird.
Wait a minute. How many birds? You have 3 birds, right?
Well, I have 3. They're called parakeets or budgies. I had 3, but now we're down to 2.
Oh, so this happened recently? This wasn't
something... over the weekend, apparently she forgot to feed the bird for probably maybe 3 weeks.
Oh, my God. And, that's terrible. No. You lost a pet. It's a really sad thing. I don't know, Frank. Are you okay? Is everything going to be okay with
you?
Oh,
I don't care. It's less mess. It's less mess. Pretty soon the other ones will go to be even... The birds... Are disgusting.
They are, but you know you don't have as many, and that's sad.
I'm happy. The less, the better. Really, they're just an awful, awful pet. The shit and the feathers and the food is just everywhere all the time.
So whose idea was it to get the birds? Obviously not yours. You're not very fond of
them. No. She wanted to get birds like maybe a year and a half ago. She wanted to get a bird a year and a half ago. And you know my theory that I cannot get one of one. I have to get. Two of one pet whenever I get them. I have to get 2 of each.
So no matter what pet it is.
No matter what pet, I got to get 2 of each.
You feel like they'll be lonely if they don't have one of their own kind. But now you bought 3 in this case.
Well, they had a special buy one, get one free, so how could I go wrong?
So you bought one, and then you bought one,
and then I got a free one.
Yeah, but that doesn't work out. If you buy one and you get one, that's 2. Where does the third one come in?
Well, she had the third one already. The first she bought one, and then about a week or so later, I bought the second and third one.
So, was there a bird that was like on the outs, like one that was by itself more often than not, or did they pal
around?
No,
not really. This was a white bird that died.
Oh,
you know,
God!
It was, yeah.
Jesus, that's all you ever report are the white birds that die.
fucking slanted media. No one ever cares when a bird of color is killed. So, so Donna, you're blaming Donna on killing the bird.
Well, what happened was she is in charge of feeding the birds. I want nothing to do with the birds. Neither do my kids. And
your kids don't even like them.
No, they can't stand them. They don't. My kids don't like my dogs. You know, let alone the birds.
No one likes the dogs. So tell me about your. So Donna killed your bird.
Well, I guess she forgot. I guess she neglected to feed it water or food or anything. But all I know is when she did decide to feed it, the bird was just in a fetal position in the food dish.
In the fetal position.
It was just stuffed in the food dish, like he went to die in the food dish.
So like at the end of the Godfather, just collapsed in the bird equivalent of the tomato patch.
Exactly.
In the dish he ate from, he just died.
He just died in the dish.
And do you think the other birds gave a shit, or did they just kind of eat around
him? It's funny because they were hovering around it. I don't know if they were looking for food or starting to pick at him for food. But
they're like, really? It's not fucking funny, tweets. We get out of our fucking bowl. This is hilarious.
Do you think,
Let us eat, tweets. What was the bird's name?
Marshmallow.
Marshmallow. Come on, Mellow. You fuck. Get out of the bowl. They don't give a shit about their other bird.
You think they missed the bird? I mean,
no.
Huh?
He was the white one. He was the odd one out. The other two are the same, right?
Well, one's green and one's blue.
Yeah, but they're extravagant. They have a different color. The white one probably thought it was the leader. And now that it's dead, they couldn't be happier.
Right.
They're eating around this dead body. They don't even care if you leave it in there or take it out. Eventually, I think they'll start, you know, pecking at it.
Possibly.
It'll get hard enough that they think it's some kind of a, you know, toy to gnaw on.
And then what happens is, you know, she didn't realize it was in the dish, so she pulled the dish out and starts screaming bloody murder.
Oh, you know what? There is something to that. No matter what it is, whenever you're surprised with a dead body of a pet, it's a little startling. It's a little, the smaller the pet, you know, the easier it is. Like if you see a dead dog in your house,
right?
It's a little bit unsettling. If you're, you know, you're just going about your daily routine, it was probably, excuse me, that seltzer's getting me. Oh, man. It's probably part of her daily routine because you do nothing in the house. She had to go and feed the birds, takes the bowl out, not even thinking, turns around, put it on the counter, you know, maybe pour a cup of coffee for you, you know, flip your eggs and flip your bacon, go turn over, go to fill the bird thing up. She sees one of the dead birds, Marshmallow, as he was named, just fucking crisping up in that bowl.
So what she did was she pulled the food dish out of the cage. The bird was in there, and she starts screaming and going crazy. And she had to put it down immediately. She didn't want to hold now she wasn't holding the dead bird. She was holding the dish that the bird was in. She wasn't touching the bird, but she starts going crazy and screaming. Now, I mean, why do people get all cuckoo? You know, if there's something a dead pet of some sort. I mean, it's not gonna, you know, nothing's
gonna
happen.
Dead animals are disgusting. They're really gross. I mean. And whenever you see them, you associate it with some kind of bacterial infection, some kind of smell, and you think that like something's oozing out and it's going to contaminate whatever it's touching.
Right.
I remember a time as a kid, maybe like 8 years old, walking from, you know, the bus stop to my house, and it was raining, and I stepped on a squirrel that was stuck in a storm drain. I couldn't tell what it was until I saw its little face kind of sticking through the grates, and I realized I stepped on it. I threw my socks out because I was kind of a little bit put off. I stepped on a squirrel that was entrenched in a storm drain's face, and I thought that my socks had to go. So I mean, I can kind of see that you don't want to touch the bowl, but I mean, eventually.
Well, that's just I'm just getting that vision. It's just disgusting. It's just stuck there.
You just think about like, all these leaves, the little 6-pack rings. Some kind of sticks acorns, just all this shit matted down in this drainage ditch, and then poking up through it all, a little squirrel face, dead, the eyes completely open, the mouth open, you see the little fucking teeth sticking through.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was really spooky, and that was right after I saw It, so I didn't, you know, I was a little bit freaked out as a kid.
When I was a child, I had a desert iguana, and I didn't realize that you needed like heat lamps for lizards. I wasn't aware of that, so I just had it in a regular fish, empty fish tank. And
who gave it to you?
I bought it.
You just went out and bought it and just, here's a glass tub. I think that's about it.
I was looking for a pet that wouldn't be messy. So I figured that I can't go wrong with a reptile. You know what I'm saying? So, I put it in there in the cage. It lasted for about 6 months. And then I realized that it wasn't moving for about a week and a half.
Oh, my God.
And then I moved it with the pencil and it wasn't moving. But then I was too lazy and I left it there for 2 weeks anyway. So
you just left it there.
It looked the same, dead or alive. So what the hell difference does it make?
But you just bought it and you didn't even care. Like you didn't ask, how do I care for this animal?
No, I didn't care, and I didn't know. I didn't know better. I was a teenager.
Did your parents even know? I mean, did anybody?
No,
even
they didn't know. They didn't know.
Hey, you might need something in this empty tank that you threw animal in. This animal that had a habitat. It had its own, place to hide. Its own shelter. Its own type of food. Did you even feed it?
It didn't eat anything.
It probably became petrified within a week of you.
So what I did was I didn't want to bury it below ground. Well, that's another thing I want to ask you about. But getting back, I didn't want to bury it below ground because I felt bad for it. So I didn't want to put it below the. I'm a big proponent in not being buried below ground. I think people should be placed above ground. So I put it in a glass coffee jar and I sealed it real tight. And I left it, and I put it in my backyard, and just watched it decompose for like 5 years.
Oh, yeah, so like the Russians did with Vladimir Lenin. That's really good. Yeah, just keep them above ground. Tourists will walk by and look at your fucking, your dead lizard. Your fucking ill-informed purchase you decided to let die in a fucking empty fish tank.
After 5 years, all that was left was just this yellowish ooze and some bones. That was all there was in there.
That was it. But the thing is, the dead pet is a little bit creepy. It is.
What do you do with the dead pet?
Well, it depends on the pet. If it's a fish, you flush it.
The fish you definitely flush,
you
okay?
Flush
is that what you're saying?
Fish, anything that's about as small as a fish, anything that'll go down, won't clog the toilet.
What about a hamster?
You know what? If it's small enough, flush the hamster. I mean, pretty much, if you have a hamster that's smaller than one of your shits and it's dead, just flush the fucking thing. Honestly. And if you have, if you're renting the place and, your lease is up, I'd say try flushing a dead cat. It doesn't matter. Just try and clog the pipes up with dead pets and then leave. You're not going to live there anyway, and it's the next guy's problem. The landlord's problem. Who cares? But typically, what people do, they have the pet cemeteries or they have their pets cremated because they're retarded and have no value of money. What everybody else does is they dig a hole in the backyard. They throw the dead animal in there. They think a few nice thoughts, and then they cover it over, and they build a fucking basketball court on top of it.
See, that I don't agree with, because what they do is they'll just put the bare animal in the dirt. Now, in a couple of days, that thing's going to be consumed by worms and maggots and the worst vile human life, the worst life there is. It's just going to be eaten up. That's what
– Yeah.
You need to put it in an airtight container and then put it in the ground, so it's not being consumed by little microorganisms.
Why do you want to vacuum pack your pet? Are you leaving it like some kind of a time capsule for fucking future cultures?
No, because
who gives a shit about pebbles, your fucking guinea pig? No one cares. Just fucking let the thing rot in the lawn.
Well, that's what I did.
Well, no, you didn't. You set up some kind of a fucking terrarium outside. The first time the thing has a fucking natural habitat, it's after it's dead.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be honest with you, I didn't do that with the bird.
Well, now, another way to do it is to have your pet stuffed. Spandy Man, as we know, a bedridden man who loves cats, had a cat that died after 21 and a half years. He wanted to get this cat stuffed. He's just typing this now in our chat room. Go to hearustalk.com. We're live Tuesday nights if you're downloading this. No big deal. But he wanted to get the cat stuffed, but instead his mother got the cat cremated. He wanted a plot for the whole thing. If he couldn't have it stuffed, he wanted to have it buried. He wanted to have a marker, blah, 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 blah. People really get attached to pets. People really do, and I haven't really seen that until I got the dog. But the thing is, when this dog dies, I'm not going to get a fucking... A memorial stone. I'm not gonna dig purchase a
lying.
Plot.
I think you're lying. I think. Listen, the way I hear you talk about this dog, I think you will. Okay, that's number one.
So let me ask you something. The birds didn't mean shit to you.
They didn't mean shit to me.
So what did you do with the dead bird?
I threw it in the garbage.
You just put it in the garbage can?
I threw it in the fucking garbage.
With the coffee grinds and the fucking banana peels.
Absolutely. Just chucked it in there.
Just like it didn't mean shit to you. And no one cared.
And not only that, but I spit on it as well.
So Donna had to be pretty... You're saying she's at fault for this?
Well, it was her responsibility to take care of the bird. You know, now, she's not 100% guilty because we don't know, you know, she can't remember, you know, if what happened was because the bird was in the food dish, we don't know if there was still food underneath the bird. So we don't know if she's 100%
guilty.
Well,
how do you not know that there was food under it? You took the bird and threw it out.
Right, but we didn't, like, pick the bird. We just dumped the whole thing in there. And it was wedged in there, so you had to shake the fucking thing real hard, too, to get it out. So we don't know if there was... You know, we didn't inspect to see if there was food underneath the bird. We just, you know, she didn't want to look. She just dumped it and shook it out.
I like to think that maybe I contributed to it. Because I know every time I go over there, I went over to that bird cage, I would look at the little hanging hook that was on the cage that suspended its perch. And I would fucking swing that fucking thing and go, wing-dum, 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 and it would look at me like it was going to die.
Yeah, I think you did have something to do with it
maybe
as well.
Maybe I did. Or maybe you didn't feed it. Maybe it was something you did, Frank. But I'm sure that whoever's was at fault, Donna got the blame.
Oh, that's a given.
Now, why?
I made her feel bad about it as well.
Just to push her buttons.
I said, how do you feel now? I mean, how do you feel what you did here? I mean, do you feel good about yourself? Are you happy? You know, shit like that.
Jesus. So your bird died.
Yeah, but getting back to the whole procedure for you know, I can remember as a kid my dog Coco, which was a Chihuahua. And let me say, I had Chihuahuas before they were trendy. Okay, I know a lot of people have Chihuahuas and they carry them in their purse.
Yeah,
I had
you know
them
what, Frank?
Before
you know,
they were trendy.
You know who else had them before they were trendy? Mexico. So don't act like you're a fucking pioneer with the Chihuahua breed.
No. Listen, I had two things before they were trendy. I had OCD before it was trendy, and I have Chihuahuas before it was trendy.
Wow, you're
okay?
A trendsetter.
Okay?
You had a little worthless dog and a terrible fucking affliction.
Okay.
Congratulations,
now,
Frank.
I can remember as a kid my dog Coco dying, and I can remember... you know, the parents call up the ASPCA. The ASPCA comes out with rubber gloves. They put my dog in a fucking hefty trash bag, and they tie him on the back of the fucking truck, and he's flopping away all the way down the street. That was happening. That was Coco's destination. That was his. That was what happened to him.
They probably turned the bag a couple times, and then
Twisted it. They twisted it all. And they just tied it. They literally tied it on this fucking knob on the back of the truck. And he just and I saw him just drive away. My poor dog in a hefty Glad bag,
just like every other bag of trash that you've thrown out in your entire life.
Right. And
your
I didn't
little
want
this dog
to happen,
that maybe you cleaned its shit up. Maybe you taught it to sit. And you just, it's just going away just worthlessly down the street.
Right. And sometimes I think to myself, I say to myself, I wonder, where could Coco's bones be? I mean, they could be, where could his bones, because his bones are still around somewhere. And I love my dog Coco so much, you know?
If I was able to find a Coco bone, how much would you pay?
I don't know. I'd pay good money. And by the way,
I have one of your dog's bones. I'm willing to show it to you for $75.
You know what? I would probably pay $75 just to have his bone and to feel his bone because it would bring me closer to him.
How old was the dog when he died?
Coco was probably about maybe 13 or 14. However, Smokey, which was my female Chihuahua, she lived for 20 human years.
Well, now why did the female one get the cooler name?
Well, Smokey we had first, and she was about 8 years older than Coco.
People are just loving the fact that you said you'd love to feel his bone again.
Well, I felt it. If I could feel, you know, yeah, I mean, if I could feel a part of him.
Just stroke it in your hands and roll it around your palm.
No, you know, just to grab his bone and just touch it and whatnot, it would make me feel good inside.
Would it make you feel good to just maybe rub it on your cheek a little bit?
I would. I'd rub it on me.
Until it warmed up.
And, you know, Coco was a, you know, I had a dog at the time. You know, let me tell you something. In my day, you could let your dog outside with no chain. We would just let him go. He'd roam the neighborhood, and he'd come back maybe like a half an hour later. We didn't, you know, we didn't walk him. He just roamed the neighborhood. He literally got about maybe like a dozen female dogs pregnant, but he would just roam the neighborhood, and he was a stud. My Coco was a stud. He would chase big dogs down the street and everything. And I love him so much.
Well, now, that's the problem. Your dog was creating all these other bastard dogs that nobody wanted, and they were probably getting drowned. I mean, when you had Coco,
they were getting what?
Drowned. That was the prime time for people to just throw sacks of puppies into little oil barrels filled with rainwater, just to get rid of the problem. That's what people did. Their little female dog, you know, they didn't have enough money to get it fixed. It got knocked up by some bald idiot's chihuahua, and now they have to drown puppies. It's the worst. I don't know. I don't know, Frank. I have a dog. I'm a new dog owner. I'm ready.
Yeah,
to, I admit that I'm a new dog owner. I'm new to having a dog. So I decide, you know what? I need to get some dog food. I'm going to go to Petco, and I'm going to take my dog with me. I'm going to go there and just have a nice outing with my dog. And I think this is going to be a little bit of an opportunity to socialize him a little bit. Maybe, you know, get him to see a couple more dogs, more people, so that when he becomes an adult dog instead of a puppy, he'll be better mannered. And it seems so worth it, but 316-768-4472.
Fucking animal.
Yeah, he is.
No, you.
You're on the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak. Who's this?
This is Marshmallow.
Oh, Marshmallow!
What? Marshmallow the bird?
Yeah, Marshmallow, what's going on?
Marshmallow.
You killed me. You killed Marshmallow. Me, Frank.
Marshmallow, it wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault. It was my wife's fault.
She forgot to...
Marshmallow, no hard feelings, okay? I know I shook you on the perch. No hard feelings, all right, buddy?
Here's the real deal. Here's how I died. The other night before I died, Frank came over to the cage. And he turned around.
Oh, no.
And he farted poisonous gas into my little
face.
And he killed me.
Marshmallow, no.
Marshmallow.
I turned the other way.
I didn't like you, but, you know, you were the better of the two birds for obvious coloring reasons. Okay. Frank, your gas killed the bird?
I faced the other way. I faced the other way, Marshmallow. I was not facing your direction.
He hung up. He hung up. Oh. He's, you know.
Oh,
what's he going to do?
You, Marshmallow.
I bet your gas is so terrible that you could kill a bird with it.
Yeah, it's... I used to have good gas. I don't know.
What do you mean? Good gas. What's good gas?
I can't... I don't have gas anymore. I can't seem to
so
pass wind anymore.
You're cured.
It's... No, I'm unable to pass wind. That's all I'll say.
You're unable to pass wind? I don't understand.
Well... all my, how do I put this? Listen, if I pass wind nowadays, I have accidents. Let's just put it that way.
So all you're having are wet farts? Is that what you're saying?
All my farts nowadays are wet farts.
How many times a day do you stain your underwear?
I try not to look.
You try not to look? You don't even look at your underwears, as you say?
It's not. I'm not at that. I'm not staining my underwears. It's just that I know when I. You know. Do you know before you have a fart whether it's going to be a messy one or not?
Yeah, I can tell. I absolutely can tell because there is a different feel to farting, and also gas or wet gas, wet shits and diarrhea. They all have unique feelings. If you're unsure, you always go to the toilet though.
Well, that's
you
the problem
make,
having.
So you have to always make as though you're going to go take a shit.
Every time I feel as though I have to have some flatulence, I have to run to the bathroom.
The what?
The bathroom.
Oh, my God. I think it's awful, Frank. I think it's very awful. And I don't know, you must be going through underwear like it's nobody's business.
Well, I'm going through all the old underwears first. And I will continue with the... But sometimes I'll put some type of sealant in there. Just
sealant?
To make, well, listen. I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes I put panty guards in my underwears.
You... What? Panty guards?
Well, I don't call them panty guards. I call them underwear guards.
Wait, why are you putting panty guards in your underwear as a man?
They're not panty guards. They're underwear's guards.
No, they're panty guards. The way you had to explain it to me was to say panty.
Well, they're strong enough for a woman, but they're made for a man.
No, that's the wrong product. See, this one is for women, and you're embarrassingly using it.
I'm only kidding. I'm not using it.
Bullshit, you're kidding.
I'm not using it.
Now you're trying to get out of it.
Oh, please. No. It's not... I could tell... I'm not soiling my underwears, believe me. My underwears are as white as a pure driven snow. I pride myself on having my underwears look like they did when they first taken out of the package. They're fresh and crisp and clean.
It's impossible.
However,
it's impossible.
I know what's happening beforehand. And every time I have to do that, I have to go to the bath. I have to run to the bathroom. And it's not an enjoyable experience.
I would imagine it isn't. God, you know, you're falling apart. You really are. And on the subject of accidents, I was talking about my recent trip to Petco. No, not the one where we got our picture with the llama, Frank. No. This was one, a different one. I went to Petco alone.
Do they know you by name there now?
They do not know me. I've been there twice. And I figured it would be nice. I take the dog. He's in my passenger seat, barking, yapping. I look over. All of a sudden, a big ice cream scoop full of puke all over my fucking car.
Oh, that's nice.
Just a fucking thing of puke. So I'm at a.
That's what it looks like, an ice cream scoop.
It does. It was undigested food and stomach bile and all this slime and shit all over my seat.
Got car sick.
And as I'm driving now, I see this. I can't let it harden. He's starting to nip at it. So I reach over. I get as much of it as I can with my hand. I grab the puke with my hand, roll down my window, and throw it out the window. I threw it out my driver's side window, and I think I hit a car going the opposite way.
Well, I mean, so I guess it's common for dogs to eat their own puke, right? I mean, that's common.
Yeah, to his credit, when I got to the Petco parking lot, I looked over at the seat to see the damage, and it was gone. It was all gone. He licked up whatever was there. So, you know,
my dog
he kind of made up for it.
My dog used to vomit this yellowy, white, creamy, fizzy, foamy bile.
Yeah.
But he enjoyed it. He'd lick it right up as soon as he
much as he liked eating your jizz the first time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
A little bit of a sick way to go.
But Ken, I can't get over the infatuation you have with your animal. You are smitten with your dog. I think even on Pal Talk a week or so ago, you actually were holding your dog like a baby, like a little baby. You were holding and cradling your dog.
This was during during the What Show replay. I put my cam on. People wanted to see Teddy. So I held Teddy up and showed the dog to the people.
I don't think anybody asked to see the dog. I really
people
don't.
People did. They said, let's see Teddy.
I've never... You were like holding a baby. You were as though you were holding... I've never seen you... You were caressing it and stroking it and just nuzzling it and between your, you know, with your chin and everything.
It wasn't like that, Frank. I was trying to keep the dog in the frame of the camera.
Well, I don't know about
because,
that.
Because if I kept it in one position, it would be like the only position you've ever shown your dogs with just a dog dick on cam. And my dog's dick is disgusting because it has little wispy neon yellow hairs coming off of it.
You were holding the dog so that the dog's belly was pressed against your chest, which ultimately means his dick was pressed against your chest.
Yeah, well, I wasn't really thinking about that. But he does have a disgusting dog dick with his little wispy yellow hair. It's embarrassing.
Right.
When he rolls
Very
over,
embarrassing.
I almost have it so he'll roll over. And when he'll roll on his back, people see his disgusting dog dick and the little wispy hairs that are permanently encrusted with piss. It was to the point where, like, it snowed yesterday. I don't know if you've turned on a TV and saw the genius weatherman that decided to tell us it was snowing about, you know, 3 o'clock into the day yesterday. But it was snowing, and he ran out into the snow, and when he came in, he had frost all over his dog dick and his underbelly and on his legs, and I had to clean him off, and I went to go brush him, and I tried to see if I could get rid of the little yellow neon crust by brushing his dog dick hair.
It is. It's a very. It's a very embarrassing because that stream of piss just makes it
angry.
It's
angry Missy.
Dyed yellow.
Angry Missy from the What Show. Check out thewhatshow.com Fridays, and she's saying you need to snip the dog penis hair. You got to cut that off. I didn't know. I didn't know if I have to snip it. I just thought, you know, let it grow out. You know, maybe it'll just blend in eventually.
When we get our dogs, you know, go to the groomers every 6-7 weeks or whatever, you know, they cut the dick hair. But yeah, I mean,
your dog has a problem with his dick. It must be a mess, especially with the snow.
We had company. Yes, we had company yesterday. My wife's sister and her husband and the kids came over, and their kids came over, okay. And I was chasing the kids around the house with my with Marvin's dick exposed.
You were chasing friendly kids, not your kids, the children of friends of yours.
Well, no, I was picking up Marvin, and obviously he was, you know, his red pepper was all over the, you know. And not only that, but it was oozing a little bit because some of the snow got in it, and it was melting on his...
Oh, my God.
And it was oozing a little bit. So it looked like melted lipstick.
Yeah, like you're defrosting a caveman. It was just coming out of its fucking ice shell.
Right. So I picked the dog up, and, you know, it's always a nice chuckle when people see his ding-dong.
It's not a nice chuckle. It's fucking sad. The thing is, these strangers don't know that this is the permanent...
This is family. This is family.
They're relatively strangers, I would say.
I see.
Anybody that's related to you may as well consider themselves a stranger.
I apologize.
If they want to live long. Because anybody who's around you is eternally frustrated. Now, I'm just messing with you, Frank. But
so what happened?
But that dog is a disgusting disorder.
My brother-in-law was on the one. He had a phone call. He had a phone call on a cell phone. So I picked Marvin up, and I was, chasing him around the house while he was on the cell phone, trying to, make him break his concentration. Oh,
Jesus, yeah, you know, and you did that to me. I was trying to eat.
I did.
Your wife made a delicious bobbly pizza, and
No. Cut the crap out. You know what? You offend me when you disparage my wife's food. You offend me.
I know, and that's why I do it. But anytime I allude to the, you know, the suggestion that your wife may have prepared something using, you know, prefabricated meals or like a bobbly crust or a ShopRite pre-cooked chicken, you come to her defense right away.
Yes, because she's a wonderful, wonderful cook, and for you to say something like that hurts my feelings.
Anyway, I was eating this slice of DiGiorno that she handed
Excuse
me.
Excuse me!
What?
Be honest, be honest.
Okay, Tombstone, I'm sorry.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Elio's?
You know, you made a promise you wouldn't do that anymore.
Well, you know what? You know, it's okay. It's okay. It was adequate pizza. You know, maybe if she used the conventional oven instructions on the back of the box that she bought him. They might have been a little bit more crispy, but I was eating it, and you come over with this fucking dog with this this dick affliction and try to put it in my face. That's like your big thing to do. You're not at all ashamed that your animal is in pain at all.
Well, he's not in pain. He's enjoying it. He likes it.
How does he fucking enjoy it?
Well, who doesn't enjoy an erection?
A permanent one? Frank, your life would be so... Think about how bad your life would be if you could never have a flaccid penis. Granted, you spend most of your day inside, so it probably wouldn't matter. But, you know, jeans would be out. You couldn't wear jeans anymore. You'd have to get, like, MC Hammer pants or fashion some kind of a short out of parachutes. You'd need comfortable clothing, and comfortable clothing is never good. As you said, a man has to avoid... coziness and being comfortable. Isn't that correct?
That is correct.
Frank, I need to expose something. Did you or did you not make a purchase from television recently?
Yeah, I did. Absolutely.
What did you buy? What did you buy?
I bought a piece of clothing, a piece of article of clothing.
What purpose does this clothing serve?
It's for warmth. You know, it's for the winter.
For warmth, for the winter. What is the name of the product?
I'm not really sure.
Describe it to us. Describe the product to us, Frank.
It's it's like sweater material. It's covers you. You know, your
so
body.
Is it, it's like a shirt.
Yeah.
Does it have sleeves?
Yeah, it does have sleeves. Absolutely.
It a blanket?
It's
you bought a Snuggie, you fucking faggot. You bought a Snuggie. After all this shit about a man never needs to be comfortable. A man should reject coziness. Frank, you bought a goddamn Snuggie. What in great fucking blazes enticed you to purchase this item?
Well, it was such a great invention to have a blanket. Where the reason why I never utilized blankets is because there was no your hands were pretty much paralyzed underneath the blanket. Now they have an invention where you can put your arms through these holes through the blanket, and you can kill two birds with one stone.
I don't understand the need for the blanket with you though.
Well,
haven't you always said that a man should always reject the elements and should never be comfortable? A man should always be uncomfortable. Isn't that correct? You've always said this.
I have said that.
So you go and buy a Snuggie, which is a backwards robe, basically.
Oh my God! You know what? You're fucking right.
You fucking idiot!
I just thought of that. It's a fucking backwards robe.
Yeah, you paid $60 for a fucking robe that you can wear backwards. Congratulations!
And not only that, they don't even give you a little fucking belt around it either.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't even get the goddamn belt. You have the executive. You have the executive version of a backwards robe. You took off the belt. You looked in the mirror, and you thought. The executive.
Right. Now that's a Seinfeld reference, folks.
I know, Frank. I'm the Seinfeld expert on the show.
Yeah.
But now, is this the first time that you bought anything on TV? Are you a habitual TV, as seen on TV purchaser?
I bought. Remember when the Juice Man was real popular? Like
the Juice Man. Yes. I do remember that. I remember thinking, God, that would be great to put all the garbage that nobody would ever think of eating from vegetables into a juicer to make some concoction that really wouldn't taste great.
Well, and then I said to myself, well, listen, you can make these delicious, healthy drinks, and I was getting all into the spirit and everything, but I used it once, it's a bitch to clean up.
Wait, you bought the Juice Tiger?
Whatever the Juice Man one was, it was the Juice Man product. Yeah. I don't know.
I think his product, the Juice Man, was called the Juice Tiger.
Okay, well then there you go.
And it's always that somebody wants to improve their health. I mean that's 9 out of 10, you know, as seen on TV products. There's the cleaning ones, there's the be comfortable. But you know, more of it is just like how to improve your physique. Or how to get your body better with the most minimal work. I have bought some of this stuff as well. Back in whenever it was, maybe 10 years ago, 11 years ago, I bought something called the Ab Slide. Now this is a little fucking plastic wheel with handles that has like some kind of contraption. It basically is just a wheel that you slide out and you slide back, and this is supposed to rip you up in like. 4 days. You use it 7 times, and you're gonna have a 12-pack. And it felt like it would work, but I never used it. My fucking back started to go out, and I used it like 4 times. With these things, you show it to people. They're like, oh, I've seen that on TV. Let me try it. And like, yeah, it's really good. You always tell people that these purchases you make are the best things ever, and then after that point, you never use it again. That fucking Ab Slide was thrown out like 2 weeks after I bought it.
Right.
And have you ever bought any like fitness things?
I bought something called it was Body by Jake. It was like a lifting bench, but everything was the resistance was with these like rubber band type of I don't know.
Oh my God. Body by Jake was the guy. I know he was the taxi driver in Coming to America. Didn't he was on the ESPN channel with all those fucking terrible people that would work out, like Kiana, the Asian.
He was you know what, he was the trainer for the stars, I think. Like, that's his claim to fame. That's what he
called himself, the trainer of the stars?
Something like that. He would train all famous people or anything. But he looked just like a regular Joe to me. He didn't look like
he was in any good shape.
No, not at all.
He just looked like some fucking idiot.
Right.
Wearing Zubas and doing a dance routine on a fucking step.
And also,
what did he have? He had a bench, I guess.
It was called Body by Jake. It was like a weightlifting bench, but there was no weights. It was everything. All the resistance was by these like rubber band type of devices. You know.
The big rubber band like figure eight things.
You hook them
onto the pegs. All right.
Exactly.
How ripped did you get from this, Frank?
Well, I never even took it out of the box.
You bought it and never used it.
Yeah, it looked too complicated to put together, so I said, fuck it. In addition, when I was starting to go bald, I bought something called Couvre. It was a cream that
Couvre?
You put in your... Couvre, Couvre, I think it was pronounced.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was a cream that would make your hair thicker.
And this is from an infomercial.
Infomercial, yes.
Oh, my God. And did it work, Frank? Did any of this stuff work for you?
The problem with me was my baldness was at the front of my head mostly, so, you know, it didn't really work too much. No. Oh, I also bought something called DD7, or HP2000. It was this I remember the infomercial where this guy – They put a couple drops in like this big bowl of clothes that was like with red dye, and then they spun it with their hand, and all of a sudden it was clear. Do you remember that commercial?
No, I don't. No, I don't. What was it supposed to do? Just clean up?
It was just a stain remover.
The worst, yeah, I hate when they have to show how well something works, like a stain remover. They always take the same clear salad bowl, and they drop like four drops in. They take a mechanic's suit and gloves, throw it in there, and then like they cut away and come back and it's completely clean.
Right.
And then you see them struggling with the competitive, like using Tide never gets stains out. And the person's just breaking their back, bent over, you know, grimacing, just trying to, you know, soak it in a bowl. And the minute they get this new product, everything's great. Everything's absolutely fantastic and awesome. I don't know. I always watched as a kid, I was fascinated by knives. I don't know if this is something that's, you know, normal or just completely weird, but I really liked knives. And I don't know if it's because of Crocodile Dundee or what, but I really thought it was cool that there was a knife that could cut through bricks, pipes, shoes, and tomatoes and just, you know, completely just swipe through these things. And I really wanted it.
Are you talking about the Clever Cleaver?
Maybe. I don't know. I always used to watch these things. And by the way, Ken is a cutter in the Heroes Talk rooms. Just tell me to let out the pain. Well, maybe now that I'm an adult, I'll buy the Clever Cleaver and, you know, cut apart some cinder blocks and then maybe let the pain ooze from my arm and show people what I mean business. No, I don't know. I just thought it was very interesting.
Do you remember those commercials from the 70s for the Ginsu knife, or you don't remember those things?
The commercials from the 70s, Frank.
Hey, yeah, do you remember that?
Frank, do you remember the newsreels that you used to watch in theaters in the 30s? I wasn't around in the 70s. I wasn't alive. But I do remember the infomercials with, you know, there was a trend that they had to have the British guy. And any person that was British immediately held some kind of authority of knowledge. Like, if they're selling pots, pans, or whatever, you know, the clueless American woman would just marvel at whatever this British man had to say. Mary, Royal Diamond cookware, you don't even need to wash it. Take a paper towel, burn cheese on it. Like, the guy would try to destroy the product. Oh, that'll never come out ever. The product is ruined. No, Mary, you dumb whore. Take a paper towel and wipe it off. As if that's really going to be the way to clean it.
Right.
People buy these things and they think that, you know, that's the way it's going to go.
There's this one nerdy fellow, I think I think it was Incredible Breakthroughs or something, I don't know. But it was just the acting is just god-awful. It's just god-awful acting. But getting back to the Ginsu knife, I remember as a kid where try to cut the tin can and everything, and then they would you cut, try to cut the tomato and everything. So.
Oh, yeah, that was fantastic. Great, great description of it. The best demonstration of a knife or a metal blade was on QVC when the guy was trying to show how resilient the blade was, and he was smashing it on the table, and it bounced back into his face. That was my favorite thing. It's the DJ News Style Show. We're going to take a quick break here on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
The DJ News Style Show will be right back.
I love that clip, dude. That's why we might as well take our time.
Live from the coolest room in the world ever, this is the Jimmy Frank on Super Radio Funnest Hour Ever. Everybody
look around. Hey, you're listening to the coolest show on your computer or your iPod or your Zoom if you're poor. Or whatever you hear things on. I'm not really sure what you listen to the show on because we're not even friends. But today, I want to talk about one of the coolest things that can ever happen to a kid who has to go to school. And when I say the kids that have to go to school, I mean the kids that don't get expelled for lighting fires and cigarettes and punching librarians like Anthony Chidi. Because he's already got the coolest life because he isn't even allowed on school property anymore. And his parents still buy him all the coolest things. And he even makes his own cigarettes. Anyway, I'm talking about when it snows, and, you know, you don't have to go to school because the teachers are stuck, and they get snowed in, and they're in their houses, and they don't have groceries, and then they all start crying because there's no food, and then one by one they all die and freeze to death, and the books rot in the classrooms, and then all kinds of, like, weeds and vines grow on the desks, and then there's never any school again, ever, and the only thing that survives is the lunchroom and the gym and the baseball field, and no one's sad that all the teachers froze and starved to death because of the snow, and then we all get like $1 million from the president, and then we can have all the things we ever want. Then, like, the school gets cleaned up by stupid kids like Fat Steven and Stupid Lawrence, and the coolest kids beat them up and turn it into, like, a new great adventure with, like, 1,000 more roller coasters. And anytime a teacher comes from, like, another school and tries to get in on a ride, it breaks and kills them, and that keeps all the teachers out. So there's, like, no school ever, and there's only rides and cotton candies and those smelly plastic toilets that I don't even know where the pee goes. And since we all have millions of dollars and we're all the coolest and there's no teachers and there's no school, all we do is play Rock Band and beat up the fat kids and eat all the pizzas we want because the lunch ladies are our slaves and they have to cook us tater tots and pizzas and even fish sticks because Scott likes the fish sticks even though they smell like Fat Anna. So, I just wanted to say that that would be the coolest, but it was a false alarm because yesterday was a snow day, but today I had school again. So, I'll let you know when it's the coolest for real. So, stay tuned to the teacher freezing and starving, money-giving, coolest basketball hooping show in the world ever! Okay, coolest.
The DJ New Style Show.
Lucky you, you're listening to the DJ New Style Show, dick.
Yes, welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. Check out DJNewStyleShow.com. Download our old shows. When I say old, I mean classics. Amazing things that you should have on your MP3 player, iPod, or Zune, apparently, if you're poor. But I don't know what you listen to, because like Jimmy Francone, I'm not your friend. Frank, I hope you had a very nice break.
I did.
You did? Very good. You know what? I'm just going to fucking completely cut that off. Fuck it. Are you
That's
there?
Smooth. That's a smooth transition.
It was a smooth transition. You know, Jimmy Francone talking about some snow days. You know, I had a snow day myself, Frank. I didn't go into work. I said I pulled the whole, I'm going to be working from home thing. That a lot of people pull, you know, that you can remote to your desk, you can, you know, work on your computer at work from home, which basically means you check 5 emails, make sure that nobody's going to contact you, and then, you know, every other hour you go and you check your inbox, and if nobody's contacted you, then you're all good. Working from home is the biggest myth. But then again, you do it. I could never have an office that would work in my house. There's too many distractions.
Well, there are distractions. I mean, you know, but you know, there's good things too.
Well, what's good about too. It? What's good about it, Frank?
Well, you know, the bathroom's around the corner, the refrigerator's down the hall. You know, that's perfect. You can't get better than that.
I mean, it's the same as work. You know, I can go right across the hall, go to the bathroom. I can go right across the hall, get some snacks.
But
for some reason, snow days are probably the best thing ever. I mean, as far as being a kid is concerned, nobody ever wants to go to school. But, you know, being an adult, nobody wants to go to work either. So any chance you get out of any obligation, it's the greatest day in the world. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
Country Music Jeff.
Jeff, how are you? This is Jeff from The What Show. Check out thewhatshow.com, Friday night, 10:30. What's going on, buddy?
I'm with you 100% on working from home, man. It's the best.
It's the best? So you were with Frank on this?
I do about 10 minutes of work and about 8 hours of watching TV, eating and jerking off.
So you're really with Frank on this?
Excuse me?
100%. It's the best. My wife works from home too, so it's even better so I can go downstairs and bother her while she has to do her actual job.
Yeah.
One of the great things about being a programmer is no one knows how long things take, so you can just say, yeah, it takes about a week.
But Jeff, I think you're sugarcoating
for those 7 days off.
Yeah.
I think you're sugarcoating it, Jeff, because a lot of times you're working like 2 o'clock in the morning, I see you working at the computer. Isn't that correct?
Yes. When I put things off and I have to rush to get things done, I'll work from about 11 p.m. till about 7 in the morning.
Yeah, it's like you're giving that final exam cramming experience, you know, every project you have.
Yeah, well, what's great about that is when I'm not around during the day after, you know, I do an all-nighter, I go, cut me some slack, man. I pulled an all-nighter for you.
Yeah, after pulling, you know, 5 straight weeks of just slacking off and doing nothing. Yo, dude, I worked until fucking 7 a.m. doing this. I didn't sleep last night. Oh, here, pour on the sympathy.
You know, I want to bust my ass for you.
Yeah. I'm the only one that does what I do. You understand? thank you.
I don't see my wife anymore because I sleep all day and I eat wheat thins in my bed while I watch West Wing on TV.
That's exactly what I can't.
Jeff, how long have you been working at home for? A couple years or so, or?
I would say about 4 years now.
And you wouldn't go back to you would like to work this way forever.
Hello?
I'm here.
I guess we lost Jeff.
Okay.
Well,
Jeff, pay that cell phone bill.
Yeah, pay it. You know, working from home, you might want to do some stuff. Yeah.
You know what? All right, go ahead.
316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with a confused germ freak. Who's this?
Yo, it's VA Messenger. What's up?
VA Messenger, what's
up,
going on,
buddy? Wes is, just want to inform everybody, Wes is from the state of Tennessee, is originally from the state of Tennessee, but now he resides in Virginia. Isn't that correct, Wes?
Yeah, what does that do with anything?
Thanks, Frank. When he gets his own Wikipedia article, you can monitor that son
of a bitch. I apologize.
Seriously. What's going on, VA?
Just want to say, yeah, I agree with Jeff. Like, I used to work, when I first started my company now, I used to work at my apartment. And I would wake up at 8, you know, go to work, and find myself working till midnight. Because I'd be like, oh, I got my PlayStation, I got my computer, I got all this stuff.
It's the worst.
An eight-hour day never lasted 8 hours.
Never. I mean, then again, you know, an eight-hour day in the office is never going to last 8 hours. I mean, you know, you find your distractions there too, but it's just that the distractions at home far outweigh, you know, the office.
Is that when you were a Virginia messenger, what you were doing that, Wes?
No, that's when I was working as a geologist.
Can I address something?
I apologize.
Frank, why is it that you're obsessed with where he's currently located?
No, I just enjoy the fact that he's from the southern states. We have southern representing here,
So now you don't have to pretend to have a southern drawl now that he's on the phone.
Right, right, right.
You don't have to say souls.
When I worked as a messenger, I left at about 9 in the morning and worked till 6 in the afternoon riding about 30 miles a day.
Jesus.
But when I had this job, which I have now currently, but I have an office, My computer, my work computer, was about 5 feet from my bed, which was never.
It's never good. You can't have the office be the same place that you sleep, the same place that you bullshit and watch TV. I need a place to go to. If I don't have a place, a sterile environment with nothing to, you know, draw my eye away from what I'm doing, then nothing's going to get done. I don't have any bullshit, you know, picture frames or belongings, you know, for, you know, in my office for two reasons. One, I want to be able to just, the day they fire me, just say, yeah, whatever, I'm taking my jacket and I'm going home. And that's it. Leave it like that. But I also don't want to be distracted.
Isn't it a drag, though, just the same routine of having to get up and get in your, and go to work? It's just, the monotony would just drive me up a friggin' wall.
It tends to. By the way, thank you very much for calling in, VA Messenger.
Thank you, Wes.
I think we got Jeff back.
Thank you very much for calling in.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, Jeff.
Jeff, you know what? I'm surprised at you for doing that.
I'm sorry.
That type of shit wouldn't fly in the What Show, would it?
Yeah, absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
What's going on, buddy?
It's fun to say that when I had a job in an office, I was any more effective. Like, as an IT person, they kind of sequester you in your own room with the machines, and no one would ever come in, so I'd spend the whole day jerking off in my office.
Wait
you
a second.
You actually jerked off work in your office?
You would jerk off at an office?
No one came in.
Are you kidding me?
Are you out of your mind?
In the office. I mean, I've heard of people jerking off. They usually have the decency to go to the bathroom in the far stall. Never in the nearest stall.
Too.
Well, you do that as well. So you've jerked off.
I need to
clarify something.
We had one of those single occupancy bathrooms, and I like to lay on the tile because I like to feel the cold tile against my ass while I jerk off. So
what
I'll be
the
like laying
fuck?
On the floor jerking off.
Is your wife
off.
Aware of this?
I'll be in there for a while, and, like, you know, you would hear, like, a hello, and they're like, 1 minute!
Now, I need to know, what was the attire for this job? Did you have to wear the shirt and tie? Did you have to dress at all, or was it just jeans and shoes?
By the way, some people are calling bullshit on what I'm saying. I actually have people who can back me up on this.
Okay, well,
I'm not lying.
I need to know, did you have to dress for this job?
Yes, you know, jeans and a button-down shirt, you know, just regular.
Okay,
casual,
so yeah, you actually, you know, remove the clothing so you could feel the cold tiles on your ass and back?
Just the pants, and down to my ankles, you know.
Jeff, tell us, you know, you go to work. Tell us what goes through your mind. You know, you say to yourself, you know what, I feel like jerking off. I mean, what is the scenario that goes through your head?
Well, first I'll go in and I'll check the latest updates on my favorite free porno download sites. And if there's anything...
By the way, I need to say something. I'm looking at Jeff's Pal Talk camera. Why are you dressed up like Billy Mays? You've drawn on thick fucking bear eyebrows and a huge beard and mustache. Are you... Like, you look like you're about to sell me fucking Orange Glow. What is going on with you?
I am enhancing myself. I have dyed my hair, my eyebrows, and my beard.
He really has...
With black hair dye.
He's got Groucho eyebrows, a Billy Mays beard, and the greasiest of Guido hair.
Yeah, and if you add all that up, what do you get? Handsome. Thank you.
No, far from it, actually.
Listen, Jeff, I'm not
new, is this the new Avi Calamari?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
Jeff, that was a waste of $60 for a green name, wasn't it? Hey, Jeff, listen to me. Now, every day, was this an everyday thing, or was it just maybe once a week, or what was the situation?
All right, well, there'd be one of two things I would do during my work day. Number one is listen to Ron and Fez, noon to three.
Sure.
And the remaining hours I would spend either enjoying my lunch, doing 15 to 20 minutes of work, or going into the bathroom to jerk off.
So, but you said that you also jerked off in your office.
And I have also jerked off in my office, correct. Underneath the desk, you don't take it out, you put your hand in the pants and just lightly pull.
I could never do that.
Oh my god.
I would fucking chafe the shit out of it.
Are you
kidding me?
Are you in a cubicle or are you in your own office?
He has a calloused cock.
I was in my own office, and what you do, you don't do like the full, like, you know, hand motion. You give it a slight tease.
You can't joke off with fucking with denim.
I mean, are you that?
You use a fucking like denim as the surface that's gonna rub against your dick. It's not gonna work.
Correct.
Jeff, did you not have any self control?
And then, I swear to God, this is 100% true. I would then come into my waste basket next to my desk.
All right. See,
at what
that's
point?
That's grounds for dismissal.
How long?
Is.
You know, after the first time you did this, did it just become another part of your day? Did it become like pouring that first cup of coffee? How many weeks did it take for this to just be an everyday occurrence?
And the poor janitor who had empty his fucking cum bucket is just ridiculous.
Frank, it's at the bottom. They don't see it. You put stuff over.
But when they pour it out, it drips, doesn't it?
Eventually,
no, they take the garbage bag out of the waste basket. And they don't inspect the contents.
Ugh. That's disgusting.
It's you know, it's what you need to do to get, you know, through the workday. And you really have to consider the fact that, you know, I would say probably 90% of the work. Force in this country does the same thing.
You think every 90% of the workforce jerks off into their garbage can?
Ken, have you ever jerked off?
I'm not going to say every day, but I'm going to say they do it. They have done it at least once.
Okay, you're saying
you
no.
Jerked off
listen,
work?
Frank. He just said that 90% of America's workforce
preposterous.
Jerks
preposterous.
Off at work or has.
I would say 90% of America has self-control, Jeff.
I would say that maybe 30% of the people in the world have jerked off at least once at work. 30%. 90 is fucking.
I don't know where you get your numbers from, but
they're and there
not
how many things. Times
how
Jeff,
many
were
people
a little
are...
bit tripped on your pants a little bit? There had to be.
I mean, you think of this. There are the germaphobes that make up a percentage of the workforce. There are the people over 40 that make up a percentage of the workforce. Women are probably I would say women don't masturbate at work. I would say that there's probably a small percentage that do, but I mean. To say that 90% have masturbated at work, are you saying 90% of men?
You know what, Ken? I would ask you to then poll your audience and have them call up and see if they did.
All right,
fine.
If you've ever jerked off at work, please call the show. The number to call is 316-768-4472, and maybe you can prove Jeff right or wrong.
I've also spent a considerable amount of time downloading pirated films.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, you're a respectable man, and you definitely deserve your pay.
Don't hire me.
I won't. Thank you very much, Jeff, for calling in. Oh, God, you hire that guy, he's liable to jerk off into your garbage can. It's absolutely... I can't even understand it, Frank.
There's something, yeah, absolutely. You know, Ken, if I can interject something here, this is totally off topic. This is not something that we prepared for the show.
A complete shift away?
Yeah, there's something I need to get off my chest, and this is not something we discussed beforehand.
Is it disgusting chest hair?
No, it's
because
not.
Because that's what Donna wrote in. She said if he's getting something off his chest, it should be that terrible body hair. But what is it that you have for us?
You know, as everybody knows, I've invented numerous phrases and words throughout
You're a coiner of phrases.
Right. Some of them, obviously, no holding back. I apologize. My most famous one.
Sure.
Thank you. DWI, of course. And a new one is excuse me that just has been coined a few months ago.
Excuse me?
Excuse me, yes.
Okay.
But what I notice people are doing is they're copywriting my copyright. Now, let me explain what I mean by that, okay?
Copywriting your copyright.
Let me explain what I mean by that. When I would say something like, I apologize, copyright Germ Freak 2007, okay?
Okay.
Now, people are copywriting their own things and using the copyright moniker after it, which is something that I invented.
So you're saying...
You understand what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. You're saying it through some kind of recursion... You've not only copyrighted phrases, you've copyrighted the act of copywriting phrases.
Exactly!
And now people are ripping you off!
They're ripping me off! People
robbing you blind!
Ripping me off! and I'm tired of it. You people are not allowed to say, you have no right to say copyright after something that, a word that you invent. No right whatsoever. I copyrighted copyright.
Well,
okay?
I don't understand. Why would people do that? Nobody would steal from you. Who does this?
Oh, yes, they have.
Explain.
Many people have stole from me.
Give me an example.
Irish Alki steals from you all the time.
Whoa!
Jeff steals from you all the time.
Wow!
You know what? You know who stole from me?
Who?
Fucking Crazed Seth!
Oh my
god! He stole
god.
From me!
Crazed
and what? How dare you? How dare you people utilize the copyright afterwards thinking that it's better? I create the copyright! I'm the one who created saying copyright after the word that I invent. Nobody has permission. I will seek legal action against anybody who utilizes copyright after a word that they invent. Legal action! I'm not fucking around, New Style.
Legal action.
Yes.
All because someone said copyright and then their name.
Exactly. They're copywriting my copyright.
Your copyrights are a fucking snooze! Copyright DJ New Style, 2009.
You see?
And
that's
what?
Fucked up.
And
you
what?
You can't do that.
And
you
what?
You cannot do that.
I just did.
No.
Bring the pain. Bring the legal action. Sue me, Frank. Hey,
people, think of your own bit. Think of your own, moniker, if you will.
Okay, wait. Now, Crazed isn't here to speak for himself, so I'm going to play the role of Crazed now. You asked me to think of my own bit. I'm going to think of cleaning shit out of a Walmart toilet, which is basically the biggest part of my day. So you've now told me that I need to think of my bit. That's my bit. I'm thinking of it now. Now what, Frank? What's the next step?
Your next step is to make it your own. Don't plagiarize something that I've invented.
Okay, Diarrhea Scrub, Copyright Crazed, 2009.
No.
I don't understand.
Now,
he's doing his own
procedure.
Bit.
This is what you have to do.
What?
You have to copyright my copyright. So say that over again, what you just said.
Okay, Diarrhea Scrub, Copyright Crazed, 2009.
Then you have to say Copyright Germ Freak, 2009.
Why do I have to do that?
You have to copyright the copyright that I copyrighted.
Do you realize that your existence has just been cheapened? The fact that you're arguing over something that people say in chat rooms and on their internet radio shows and during calls to these shows is just preposterous. You have a life. You have a family, and you're furious that people are stealing something that you may have said first.
I'm tired of people getting credit for my genius.
Your genius?
I'm tired of it.
So saying thank you and then saying copyright Germ Freak. Like, can people give you credit when they say one of your phrases? If I say thank you, copyright Germ Freak.
Then you have to say copyright Germ Freak 2007.
But what if I say something on my own? I got to copyright me.
If you say something of your own, you say your own thing, you copyright it with your name, then you copyright it with Germ Freak.
Okay, so Frank is a cocksucking faggot. Copyright DJ New Style 2009. Copyright Germ Freak 2009.
Okay, I don't necessarily agree
with
what you made up.
I mean, you copyrighted
From a technical standpoint, you're correct.
You copyrighted it.
You're correct.
You copyrighted the fact that I said that you're a cocksucking faggot. So your stamp of approval is all over that true statement. I think that's a good way for it to work. I think it is, Frank.
Okay, I didn't work out the kinks in the whole system here. I still have, there's still some things
that
have to work out.
Yeah, you flew off the handle because somebody maybe threw a little appreciation your way. You have to learn how to deal with a fan. You have fans. There are people that like what you do, and they emulate you a little bit. Big fucking deal. There are people that play in a certain guitar style because they have a favorite guitarist. People that dance like their favorite dancer, fight like their favorite fighter. So people jabber on like their favorite douche on an internet radio show, and you get all up in arms because you douched it first. It's not an issue, Frank. Just let it go.
All right.
Why does it bother you?
People are getting credit for things that I've invented, and I'm tired of it.
Well, you know, speaking of things that you've invented, I need to take a break here. I guess this is what, Germ Freak Radio, copyright Germ Freak?
Exactly.
I mean, the fact that it's Germ Freak Radio doesn't need to be copyrighted.
You're right in that case. You're right.
All
right.
You're listening to the DJ New Style Show. Copyright DJ New Style, 2009. On Heroes Talk. Thank you very much. We'll be right back. Quick break.
The DJ New Style Show will be back after something.
Next up, it's Germ Freak Radio! That's gay, that's so fucking corny, I'm embarrassed I even said that. Alright, calm down. Okay. Okay, ladies and... What's that? Oh. Alright, hold on. Alright, just, the following song is an example of early 1980s new wave. The song has been covered by many... oh, boy. I'm out of practice, dude. The following song has been... the following song is regard... the following song has been regarded as an example of 80s... Fuck! The following song has been regarded as an example of... The following song has been an The following song as oh god. The following song is regarded as an example of early 1980s new wave. This song has been covered by multiple artists. That doesn't make sense. Why am I in slow mode, man? I'm in slow mode. God, my fucking balls are itching and shit. All right, hold on a second. All right, maybe we should start over again. Should I continue, just go or what? What should I do? All right. The following song is an example of 1980s new wave. It reached number The following song is an example of 1980s new wave. It reached number 65 on the Hot Billboard 100 in 1982. After a 20-year hiatus, this band reunited. Fuck! The following song is an example of 1980s. The following song is a prime example of 80s new wave music. It hit number 65 on the Hot Billboard 100 in 1982. After a 20-year hiatus, this band reunited in 2004 and has been on tour since. It's Scandal with Goodbye to You.
Good, I have a love someone like
New Style Show. Bitches. Bitches.
Oh, yes. It's the DJ New Style Show on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com. Be sure to check out The Awful Hour every Wednesday. Best in Show, Monday and Thursdays. And every Friday night, we've been putting on special broadcasts of The What Show, our buddies at thewhatshow.com. Frank, I hope that break was good to you. I'm glad to hear you finally get that song all together. Everything was in line. Everything was nice and all good. I have to commend you, though. I thought that I was the video gamer on this show, but lately you're kind of pulling away with it. You've been playing more of the games. I haven't touched a video game in, you know, I don't even know how long.
Right.
You got a new one recently?
Yeah, my 9-year-old daughter set up Wii Rock Band for me.
She set up Rock Band for you?
Yeah, well, she put it in there and figured it all out and everything. And
how depressing is that?
Oh, it's just another nail in the coffin for me.
You don't know how to do... Usually your kids are the ones that ask you, Daddy, set up my toys! Daddy, do this! Daddy, do... You physically can't. You just don't have time for... You said before you bought the Body by Jake and didn't even fucking use it because...
No, I didn't even open it out of a package.
So now your daughter, 9 years old, has to set up Wii so her fucking 40-year-old father can play it.
Yeah, I'm 38.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Sure. It's terrible. So you got the new rock, which Rock Band?
Well, I got the Rock Band, and then I got Rock Band AC/DC, which is about maybe like 20 songs, like, just AC/DC.
And so it's an expansion to the original game.
Something like that, yeah. But it's in this case, it's just strictly the same band.
I haven't tried it out. I don't know if it's good or not. Why don't you give us a little bit of a review here?
It's good. I don't like it's all AC/DC. I don't know. This may bore people who are not into AC/DC, but AC/DC has had two singers, and Brian Johnson is the most recent singer.
Now, wait. Hold on a minute. Steve LaLarper works at a video game store, and he's saying there is no Rock Band AC/DC. He says it's Aerosmith.
You're out of your... You know what? You're a dumbass. There is. I have...
Oh! Wow. Now you're not only just spitting into the face of... a video game expert like Steve the LARPer, you're just going leaps and bounds ahead of me. I really feel like I should be ashamed of myself. Go ahead and continue your review.
No, I'm just saying I don't like songs that were done by the original lead singer, Ronald Belford Scott, done by Brian Johnson. But what can you do? For example, Highway to Hell with Brian Johnson is not a good thing. But anyway, it's I'm enjoying it very much, and I will challenge you as I will do better than you eventually.
So you're a loyal AC/DC fan. You're a purist.
Yes.
If a song was done with Bon Scott, you hate it. Kills you to hear Brian Johnson perform
it. It kills me for Brian Johnson to do Bon Scott songs. It really really bothers me.
I can kind of see that.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm a big fan of Sublime. I'm a fan of bands that are defunct. Basically, I become fans of them way too late, and I never get the opportunity to see them perform, which is kind of a bummer. But I just found out now that Sublime is reuniting, basically, with a new singer. Are you familiar with Sublime?
I'm not familiar. I've never even heard of Sublime.
You are pretty much the worst person that ever lived. I'm just gonna say that. You're the worst person that ever lived.
Name a song that their most popular song.
Well, I would say What I Got is probably...
Never heard of it.
You never heard of it?
Never heard.
You've never heard
I got
this. No, here.
What
here
I
it is.
Got is what I got is what I got from you.
No, this is it here. You've never heard this?
Nope.
You had to have heard this. Well, anyways, the reunion, I guess you could call it, took place in Reno, Nevada. It seems like last weekend there was a club show with Del Mar, which consists of Sublime drummer Bud Gaw. And
Wait a second. I just realized something. That's the music in that song is a ripoff of a Manfred Mann song.
What? A Manfred Mann song?
Manfred Mann. Oh, God. I just thought about it.
Well, what's the name of the song?
Da-da-da-da, children at my... Oh, that's a ripoff of a Beatles song. Da na 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 ya da 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 da. That's a ripoff of a Beatles song.
Frank, I think you're a little bit off base. Yeah, well, you know, let's hear it. Let's hear the difference here. Hold on, let me get to that. What is it, Lady Madonna? Is
yeah,
it-
Lady Madonna, that's it! See, you knew it! You knew how'd you know if I didn't say the song, and how'd you know it was a ripoff?
You sang the fucking song, you fucking spaz!
Now play the beginning of Lady Madonna with the beginning of that piece of shit.
I'm gonna stab you in the throat. With your Rock Band guitar. Here you go. Early in the morning, rising to the street.
It's the same fucking song!
You know what? It might be a little bit.
It's the same fucking thing!
It's the same rhythm.
Absolutely!
Maybe a little bit, but it's not the same song.
It's the same rhythm, same melody.
It's the same tempo. That's about it. I mean, like, you could...
It's the same word scheme as well. They pause at the same spots.
Yeah, that's what rhythm means, you dumb fuck. Just because something has the same rhythm doesn't mean it's a direct ripoff.
Listen to me.
You want to hear Sublime again?
Yes,
kind of compare.
Do you have the capability of playing them over each other or no?
Not like that.
Okay.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Early in the morning. Okay, so you're saying that is exactly like this. You're out of your mind.
It's the same. Come on, you people, you got to give me some credit here.
No, I'm not giving you any credit. I'll give you the.
There's people out there who think that I have a point.
Yeah, and they're in your head, and they make you fear.
Now listen,
sinks.
A girl is giving me some credit. Now you know when she gives some credit that the fucking sky's gonna fall down.
The thing is, I think it's the same rhythm. I'll give you that. It's not the same chords. See, this has a chord progression in it. What I got is two fucking chords in it. There's no fucking chord progression.
See
how he spun his words into the ground. Frank is a douchebag. Fuck. I'm sorry. I get taken
Ken,
away with
Ken,
this.
Ken, shut the music up. I want to ask you a question, honestly.
Okay.
Okay?
Ask me a question. Okay. Honestly.
Be honest with me. Is there one shred of anything that lets you think that they sound very similar?
And I'm going to say no, Frank.
You can't give me the satisfaction, so go fuck yourself.
I already told you that the rhythm to me sounded a little bit similar.
There you go!
But it's not a
there
ripoff!
You go.
The rhythm it isn't the song. There's more to it. There's chord progression. There's different instruments involved. I mean, it's not the same song. But what I was saying was
I'm not saying it's the same song, but it's the beginning is very similar. Just give me that much, New Style.
No.
Please!
It's not, and I won't. I'll never give you the satisfaction.
You piece of shit! You could never agree with me, because you could... What was that thing you said? You said it makes you weak if you agree with me. That's what you said one time.
No, the thing is, I will never agree with you, ever. I'll never give you the satisfaction, because you'll hold it over my fucking head until the day that I die. Anytime there's a dispute, you'll say, well, I got you that one time. Well, I got you that one time. I was right that one time. And you admitted it. You admitted it.
Because you got this the first time.
316-768-4472. We're on the DJ New Style Show with a very wrong germ freak. Who's this?
My name's David. Nice to meet you.
David?
First time caller, long time listener.
It's funny. You sound
David.
A lot like somebody with two other names. But that's okay. David.
Who doesn't nowadays?
That's true.
But no, the comparison that Frank is making between Lady, I don't know if that's the name of the Beatles song, but whatever you were just playing.
Sure.
And, right. It's been made before. It's been made for years on the internet, the comparison between the melodies.
Yeah.
And I think what it comes down to is that a lot of comparisons can be, you can find similarities in a lot of things, but you have to figure out exactly, like Frank, are you accusing Sublime of ripping off the Beatles?
Not necessarily. I'm just saying they sound very similar. So I'm sure Lady Madonna had some type of influence
on
that song.
Well, no. It's a big fucking step to say they ripped it off versus they sound similar. You fucking made the stance that they were thieves, caught red-handed
by you.
They
were using the same pauses, the same word scheme, if that's even a technical term. They were pausing at the same spot. That's what...
It's rhythm, Frank.
All right, whatever.
So basically, anything that goes... is fucking ripping off any of his songs.
If you were to play the two songs on an acoustic guitar, they would sound very, very similar.
Probably.
I definitely won't deny that, and I'm a fan of personally. I do understand why people get the Beatles. I could care less for them.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Sublime fan. But I would never say even though I am the Sublime fan, and that would make sense, I wouldn't say Sublime is ripping the Beatles off. It's just coincidence. How many different melodies can be created over time? Like,
well, now
they're going to sound similar. It's just the way it works.
Steve, this is Steve, right?
This is David. David.
Oh,
now,
Dave.
Now, David, you claim to be a big fan of Sublime. Is that right? Am I to believe this?
Yeah, I like them a lot, yeah.
Okay, now, I just kind of found out today that they're reuniting with another singer. Did you hear about this at all?
I didn't hear about it. I heard you say it.
Yeah, they played a show on February 28th, and it looks like they're going to possibly have a tour with this guy. And the guy's name is Rome. The guy is named Rome. And here's a little bit from his MySpace page. This is a song called Only by Rome. Is he right for Sublime? Oh my God! Dude, the guy sounds exactly like. I think this is. I can't wait to fucking see.
Jack Dawson.
This is the. This is the new guy. His name is Rome.
Oh, his name is Rome. That's right.
Yeah. What do you? What's your impression of him?
Well, my impression of him is that he needs. I'm not saying he's not, but he needs to write his own damn music. He can't. Sublime can't reform and find a new singer. They're a three-piece band to begin with, and while they all contributed a lot to the music,
yeah,
Sublime can never be Sublime again. It just cannot happen without Bradley. It doesn't matter. This isn't fucking Van Halen, where you can get some identical permed douchebag to sit there and sing the lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess they saw the fact that Badfish. Just a random cover band was touring as Sublime and making a lot of money, and they figured, fuck you, you know, yeah. I'm working at goddamn Safeway or whatever, and teaching drum lessons.
They're called Badfish, they're not called Sublime.
That's true, but for Sublime fans that never... Exactly, but for Sublime fans that never got to see the band, you know, that's money that could be going into the band's pocket.
Maybe Bud and, Bud and Eric Wilson, that's right. Maybe Bud and Eric should grab the lead singer of Badfish and do that, if they're that jealous. But grabbing someone else out of nowhere and trying to create a group called Sublime, it's not fair. And I'm not saying the listeners, but fuck the fans, whatever. Like, it's just not fair to Dad, any kind of respect for Bradley, who wrote the vast majority of their songs.
Yeah.
Music and lyrics.
I agree.
It's not fair to just pick someone else up and say, hey, we're still Sublime. Want to hear us through the old songs? This guy sounds kind of like him. It doesn't matter.
It's not necessarily official, but they kind of brought this guy out to, like, close out a Del Mar show. Del Mar is, I guess, the drummer, Bud's band, and he brought out Eric Wilson and this guy Rome, and they performed some Sublime songs. But apparently it yielded such a positive result that they may be touring with this guy. And I think, you know, I'm a gigantic Sublime fan, and I would definitely go and see them. I would absolutely see them do it, and I don't care what they called it.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. Granted, yeah, it would be almost as unsettling as someone saying, hey, Nirvana just reunited, and it's some random guy who did nothing but learn everything from Kurt Cobain, and now he could sing exactly like him and play exactly like him, but it's still not him. It's the same kind of thing, but it would be pretty cool to see all those things performed live.
No doubt. And for me,
About Sublime, not necessarily No Doubt, although if Gwen decided to, you know, go back with that... I'm sorry, you said something else? Oh, no, you didn't mean the band. Okay, continue.
No. Go ahead. Should I speak?
Yes, please do.
Okay. I'm not a big Nirvana fan.
Holy
but
shit.
Let's say
that was terrible.
I did some of their stuff. But if they did that, I would care. while a label might not mean much to a lot of people, say whatever, it's just a name. It does mean a lot to me. I'm one of these people. Maybe I think my opinion carries a little more weight than it does. But if the band called, instead of Nirvana, they call themselves maybe Nascence. They're Nascence, not Nirvana. I could go and watch a show and not be so annoyed with what they're trying to do, because they're not trying to do anything. They're being a new band. If you call yourself Nirvana, you're trying to be a band that does not exist anymore.
What if they called themselves Sublime with Rome? Like, because, I mean, the surviving members of Sublime...
I think that would actually be worse than Sublime.
It absolutely would. But I don't know. I still kind of want to hear the songs performed live. And
I
really don't care what it's
called. It's not fair for them to call themselves Sublime. It's not fair at all.
Now, Frank, you're a gigantic AC/DC fan. You know, you bought the AC/DC Rock Band. You've been playing the shit out of that. When Bon Scott died and they replaced him with Brian Johnson, I mean, I think you were hearing very similar things. You know, granted, AC/DC is a much bigger band, but
well, I mean, Brian Johnson, you know, for the songs he's done with AC/DC, you know, are great. I mean, he's been with AC/DC much longer, like, you know, quadruple the amount of times that Bon Scott was with him. But it's just hard for me to swallow. Hearing him do songs like Dirty Deeds and Highway to Hell when they were with Bon Scott's voice, who I think is a superior voice.
But I'm not talking about the fact that a large portion of AC/DC's career has been done with the guy. At the moment Bon Scott died, I bet you the vast majority of people said, end the band.
Well, absolutely. When a lead singer dies, to me, the band is dead. For me, when the Led Zeppelin's John Bonham, when he died... They could have went on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they probably could
have. They didn't have to break up. The Who didn't break up when Keith Moon died. So Led Zeppelin could have kept going.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
The voice is generally the most identifiable thing in the band. The vocals.
But not always. What about Long Beach to Ball Stars? If anyone appreciates Long Beach to Ball Stars as a band and not the two guys from Sublime with a bunch of other guys... Let's pretend for 1 second you're a fan of... Are you a fan of Long Beach to Ball Stars at all?
Yeah, I am. I enjoy their stuff.
Yeah, they're good.
But the thing is,
right?
They couldn't hold it together. And there really wasn't much of an opportunity for, you know, mass appeal and for more than a few years. I mean, it's been 13 years since Sublime broke up, basically. 13 years.
That long. Holy shit.
Yeah, let them come back. Let them do a couple things. I mean, fucking NXS tore the shit out of 1987 and 88. And, you know, a few years down the road, they got a new singer and they had a good hit. And that was about
it. This is one of some bands can pull it off and some can't. Iron Maiden was a really big group in the 80s. And they had, I think, their first two albums, they had one singer. And they were pretty popular. And then they picked up another one. And while he sounded completely different, it didn't hurt them at all. It depends on who you're... Like you're saying, the Who didn't end when Keith Moon died. Well, they didn't need to. He was a great drummer, but it's not like he was the heart and soul of the band.
Yeah. Now,
he might have influenced the way the music sounded to a degree, but it could still be the Who as far as the music went without Keith Moon, some might argue. But what I'm saying is, like, Iron Maiden, they were able to replace their singer because they were still just some...
Yeah,
I mean,
look at Kiss for example. Kiss for example, they got. Two of their it's a 4-person group, and two of their original members were gone, and they still called it Kiss. You know,
yeah, I can't wait till all of them are gone. Steve brings up a good thing in the Pal Talk room. That's Steve the LARPer. He says, "What about lead singers who leave the band and go on to very shitty solo careers?" For the example he gave was Everlast leaving House of Pain.
Yeah, that was a classic group. He left.
Yeah. Well, that's what he said. I mean, what about when the lead singer leaves and does poorly? Then is the band better? I mean, or is it all about the lead singer? Because I mean, if they can't do well on their own, they definitely need the band.
That's an awful example. I think House of Pain pretty much was Everlast. You correct me if I'm wrong.
Danny Boy and DJ Lethal. I don't know.
He produced it, right? Danny Boy.
Danny Boy actually rapped. He actually rapped.
Yeah, okay. Good job, Danny Boy. Nobody nobody knows what Danny Boy did.
Oh.
House of Pain was pretty much Everlast.
He was the 55 Cadillac King.
That House of Pain had.
Yeah. I don't know, Pristine. So you wouldn't go and see a show with Rome as the frontman of Sublime?
I would see. I don't know. Whatever. I like to think of myself as one.
We got Steve the LARPer saying Christine is wrong.
Wow.
Huh?
I wish Steve could call in, perhaps, to see the LARP call in, but anyway.
Well, here's another cut from Rome's MySpace page. Let's see. I mean, you have to admit, the guy sounds a little bit like Brad. Let's see how this one sounds real quick.
Matter, but okay.
She's got a knack for hurting me. Is it the words I said? The only thing that keeps me here.
I mean, it's obvious. It's obvious the guy was influenced by Brad. He does a very good job impersonating him. And I think the idea of a cover band consisting of some of the surviving members really isn't all that bad. You just have an issue with the name being used.
No, that's a big fucking deal.
The name.
Calling yourself Sublime implies that you're the same band.
Yeah.
This guy, like I said, the vast majority of this music was written by Bradley, music and lyrics. You can't get some other guy who can sound like Bradley on the microphone and say, hey, we're still Sublime. We can play the classics you love, and it sounds very similar. You're a cover band. Cover bands don't name themselves completely after the band that they're covering.
That's true.
They're called the Badfish. They're not called Sublime.
Godsmack.
Godsmack.
Well, here we go. Here's Steve the LARPer. He's ready to call you out and
tear you apart.
Let's see how well he does. Steve, you're on the DJ New Style Show with David, I believe.
Yeah, David.
Yeah. Steve, are you there, buddy? Thank you very much, Steve.
All right, good call.
A rousing defense of your point.
Illuminating, as always.
I think he made his point. He was at the point, and he made it, you know?
Yeah. I think he's trying to do something. It doesn't really matter. I guess the long and short of it, David, I know I completely bobbled the identity of this caller, is that the name for you is sacred, even though you might like to hear the performance.
Not so much that the name is sacred, is that you're shitting on the name if you try to carry it on when the name shouldn't exist anymore. There is no Sublime. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Sublime was a three-piece, and while I love Bud and Eric, both of them great musicians, contributed a lot to the music, could have never have written Sublime songs on their own, no matter who sounds like Bradley.
Yeah.
It'll never be Sublime. They could never make the songs that Sublime made. Not going to happen. I'd rather watch Badfish, honestly.
Oh, I see. I'd say that they pick another one of the Sublime songs and maybe use that name. But either way, I'd still love to see the performance. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
Timothy.
Timothy. You're on with David and Germ Freak. What's going on?
Hi, Timothy. Yeah, I can kind of understand your point there, David, but the problem is, he didn't die in a plane crash or a car crash. He overdosed because he was a drug addict.
Oh!
And died. We're talking about a band that doesn't exist anymore, and the few members that do exist trying to act like, hey, we're still the same band.
But your point is you insult the memory of the guy by forming a new band, and I disagree entirely.
You misrepresent. You're trying to act like you're a band that doesn't exist anymore.
He was a drug addict, and he destroyed their careers with his addiction.
Yes.
And they just want to continue the music that they wanted to play. And,
uh-huh.
and God bless. You know what? They couldn't play that music if he didn't write it for them.
Thank you very much, Timothy. I appreciate it. Yes, he died from a drug overdose. Yes, they want to play their music. I think that they put enough respect into this with them. And I think if they performed, I would definitely take a look at it. Thank you very much, David. Thank you for calling in.
Well, great first call. I had a great time, guys.
Keep listening. You might.
I definitely will. I'll keep my dial tuned.
Thank you very much, buddy. I appreciate it. Maybe they should do like some kind of a reality show, like NXS did, Frank. I don't know. Find a singer that way. Would you be opposed to that at all?
I'm not opposed to it. You know, how can I be opposed to it? You know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty. I'm getting sick of reality TV, but I can't stop watching it.
Well, that was a reality show, right?
The the NXS one was one of them, but they just keep doing the same themes over and over again. You know, it's all a scheme to get something, to have a relationship, to get a job, to get a cash prize, to become a better person. Really, I don't care what these fucking people do. And some shows have cottoned on to the fact that we don't care, and they've decided to become all just celebrity displays of reality. Well, such as the Dancing with the Stars, and I guess now they're doing Celebrity Apprentice. Have you been checking this out, Celebrity Apprentice?
Celebrity Apprentice is one of the three, maybe one of the five reality shows that I watch. I look forward to it every year. It only has one season per year. And it used to be just Apprentice, but now it's Celebrity Apprentice, I suppose, because people are more interested in that.
And because The Apprentice is a terrible format for a show.
I don't know about that.
I enjoyed it
very much so.
Why do you enjoy it?
I like to see who's gonna. It's fun to see who's gonna. You know.
He wants to be project manager.
Yes.
Because he doesn't like so and so.
I'm not sure if you're supposed to call it PM. Obviously, you don't know where the show. Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's PM.
Is it head of household or is it PM?
It's
this
HOH.
Show?
It's HOH.
HOH
and for head and PM.
PM. Tribal leader. Are there alliances on the show? Are there friendships that are eventually broken so that, you know, because they didn't come here to make friends? It's all the
it's
same
just a game.
Fucking show. It's just a game. I didn't come here to make friends. Okay.
Well, anyway, the Celebrity Apprentice started a 2-hour premiere Sunday night. And they had.
Who were some of the celebrities?
Pardon me?
Who were the celebrities?
Oh. Well, they had. Somebody by the name of Hershey Walker.
Hershey? Had, Hershey?
Yeah. Hershey Walker.
Oh,
he's
my
a,
God.
Think,
you can't call him Hershey Walker. Jesus. Mike Nice, did you hear that? What do you think of Mike, of Frank calling him Hershey Walker?
Ridiculous.
Completely ridiculous.
I
apologize to you and your culture. It's Herschel Walker.
You know what? I didn't know the person's name, and I didn't mean anything by it.
Yeah, sure.
Somebody by the name of Clint... Black, he's a cowboy singer. You
cowboy
have people by the name of Tom Green, who think is hilarious.
You really do? You think he's hilarious?
I think he's fucking hilarious, dude.
Why? That because
Green,
he can look at you with a crooked eye and then
that
put poop on you.
Listen, that Tom Green show on MTV was... I never laughed so hard. The funniest thing I think he did an on-the-street interview with, you know, regular folks, and he put dog shit on the microphone, and he was interviewing people. it was fucking hilarious,
that
man.
That was very, very funny. But the thing is, what else did he have? And if it's so great, why isn't it still in reruns? Like, you can't find that show anywhere.
I think because maybe it was a little too risque.
Yeah, I don't know. I like that he claimed he had poor depth perception and would accidentally like hit them in the cheek with the microphone. Okay, it was kind of funny, but the thing is, you know, it kind of wears out on you.
You saw that? Like, you see that episode where he did that?
Yes, I did see that.
I admit you didn't laugh.
I laughed. I did, but then he did it for three more seasons, the same joke basically, with different things that he's putting on other things. His whole comedy is putting things on things. Whether it's a hammer on an antique guitar or a statue on his fucking parents' lawn,
getting
he always
it,
put things
had,
on things.
Dennis Rodman, he had you know, some poker woman player, but
poker woman
had,
player. Wow, that's a celeb.
He also had Andrew Dice Clay, or we like to call ADC.
What's with you and the acronyms?
In addition, he had Joan Rivers, and of course, who do you think, if Joan Rivers was on, who the hell do you think was on the show?
I mean, I don't know, probably her fucking cunt daughter.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Melissa, no talent, cunt, Rivers.
I didn't know she had a second middle name.
This woman, I get angry just looking at this woman, Melissa Rivers. She is a no talent, She took her mother's stage name simply for notoriety.
Yeah.
When you look up nepotism, you look up that relationship that they have.
Yeah. And she's just an ugly woman. And
she's grotesque.
And people fawn over her. Oh, you're so beautiful, blah, 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 blah. And she's got to talk about all the fashion. Oh, she's a goddamn fashion expert, as her mother sells fucking shitty wares to housewives on QVC.
Now, her mother, Joan, has literally turned into the Catwoman. she has had, I think, brow lift, lip implants, fat injections, facelifts, nose jobs. It's just...
What is she preserving? Was she ever attractive? Did you ever find her
never,
or consider her to be attractive?
Never, ever, 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 ever.
Wasn't her whole act the fact that she's just a fucking a woman you would laugh at rather than
exactly,
fuck?
Exactly, exactly.
What is she hanging on to? Let yourself fucking go. You were never attractive, and you had an act in the 80s. You know, just fucking go away. Sell your shitty purses and your fucking dumb makeup. And just move on. And put your fucking daughter away. Nobody cares. Nobody gives a shit. That's why I don't sit there and watch this shit. Now, I know the reason why you watched it is because Andrew Dice Clay is on this season.
Well,
so I'm sure you'll be watching every episode this entire season, just laughing at the fact that he's so cuttingly funny.
Unfortunately, and I hope people, I'm not spoiling this, but unfortunately he was the first one to get fired.
Oh my God, he got fired! I'm sure he... He didn't give a shit, did he? Because he's
don't
not
get
a corporate
me,
man.
No, he didn't give a shit.
No don't one get does. Me wrong.
I mean, it was. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a huge Andrew Dice Clay fan. Don't get me wrong. But it would have been. He was a draw to. He would be a draw to watch the show because he's outrageous and he I think he would have been fun to watch. That's all. And it's kind of a drag that he got fired. Well, we'll see what happens.
Well, no, let me just say that Sheepy is saying in the Pal Talk Room, the Hear Us Talk Radio Pal Talk Room, that, Jesus, she's got a 50-year career. Fantastic. Be a comedian. Don't fucking restructure your face to try and look youthful or hang on to any semblance of being attractive that you've never had. Just give up. You're a fucking hag, and you've always been a hag. That's why you were funny. No one wanted to fuck you. They wanted to laugh at your jokes. You find one person that legitimately can say that they would fuck Joan Rivers. Ever. Ever. Because she's attractive. You'll never find that fucking person. Frank actually told me, though. I mean, there is one person. Off there when we were prepping, Frank said that he had a Joan Rivers poster that he frequently masturbated to. Right next to his Like a Virgin picture of Madonna.
Yeah.
But nobody would fuck her if she was just some fucking woman at a deli. She's Joan Rivers, yeah. Barb is saying the celebrity factor, sure. Yeah, maybe you want to have a story to tell. Maybe you want to know what it's like to fuck the pile of bones that would be any pet that Frank left above ground, because God forbid you bury him, by fucking Joan Rivers. But it's not, you're not attractive. Don't fucking fix yourself. There's nothing to fix. You're in fucking shambles. Just fucking let it go. You're about 87. How old is she? She's got to be in her 80s.
I would say she's probably in her mid-70s, maybe even
Jesus
late 70s.
Christ.
I don't know.
There are wax sculptures that probably don't even look like her anymore. She was probably in a wax museum that they made a sculpture in the 80s, and it bears no resemblance to her today. I mean, you have a picture here that I'm seeing.
76 years old. She's 76.
She's 76 right now. You have a picture from the 80s of her. She looks horrid. And then the new picture, the updated fixed model, she looks even more horrid. She gets plastic surgery and she's, just maintaining just disgust. I don't know. I can't stand the Apprentice. And these other reality shows, I can't fucking stand. One of them ended last night. I'll admit it, Frank. I watched The Bachelor last night.
You did watch The Bachelor, and shame on you.
Shame on me? Why?
I happened to be talking to Ken on the phone during the finale of The Bachelor. And at one point he said, hold on, Frank. I want to see how it ends. Okay? Now, come on, Ken.
All right. My girlfriend put it on. Listen to me. I'm gonna tell this story, and I won't try to hide anything like you do with your Snuggie. Yeah, sit there with your fucking backwards robe and tell me that I'm gay for watching The Bachelor, you fuck. My girlfriend puts The Bachelor on. I start watching
now,
it.
Now, who's your girlfriend?
My girlfriend is Amanda. She's a very lovely young lady, and she enjoys reality TV, and we watch the shows together. She fell asleep. The Bachelor is still on the TV, so I'm watching it. And I actually, I have to say, I was becoming caught up in the story. See, now, he's whittled down, like, 20-something women to the last two, and he has to choose between them. And I guess the big thing is that The Bachelor has to marry one of these fucking broads. And it's the worst reality show ever because you don't fucking win. The runner-up is the winner. I mean, as far as I can tell, the runner-up is usually on the next season, as either The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, depending what the current season is on. The runner-up is the fucking winner. The winner has to get married to someone that they met 2 months ago. And they had this relationship while the other guy was in a relationship with 20 other people. So basically it ended, Frank, last night. Very, very, very shocking. He picked a woman, and then they had a live special. Usually, I guess what they do...
Oh, the recap, you mean?
They recap. And I don't know if it was... Obviously, it wasn't live, but it's after everything has gone down. And usually, they talk to the couple, but he was there, and he was all distraught. This is Jason. Oh, he's such a big fucking catch. Everybody fucking loves Jason, this little pussy that fucking cries at every fucking turn he has to make. Every hardship he's ever met is met with fucking tears and weeping as he's bent over a fucking railing in a fucking faggoty suit. So the guy is sitting there on a couch. I don't think I made the right decision. We spent the holidays together. Basically, he's saying that after spending time with this as his only woman, the one that he gave the ring to isn't the woman for him. So he had it out with her. She gave the ring back, and he went with the runner-up.
Oh, really? Is that what happened?
That's what happened. He went with the runner-up.
And the runner-up was okay being sloppy seconds?
Completely fine with it, because there's a challenge involved. She bested the other girl. But the thing is, they talk about this relationship that they have on the show. Our relationship is so strong, and we're going to be together, and it's like we're forming a family. I saw his son, it was the most important day of my life. Shut up. He's fucking in love with 10 people. He is trying to fucking maintain 10 concurrent relationships and fuck 10 women, basically.
It's very degrading
at the same
to
time.
These women. Very degrading.
Isn't it? A little bit. And isn't it fantastic?
I love it.
I think it's great. I think it's absolutely great. And I don't like the fact that you fucking tried to dime me out as being as being less than a man for having
watched
it.
Because when you got back to the phone, you could tell you were a little choked up. And it just made awkward for me.
I was not choked up.
It was very awkward for me to continue the conversation because obviously you had a lump in your throat because you were crying about it.
Oh, for sake. God damn. Well, congratulations to Jason and Molly and their little fucking retard son, Ty. No one gives a shit about you or your son. I'm sick of this reality shit. Give me fucking scripted comedies, please. Scripted fucking comedies, for Christ's sakes. What does the dog want?
I don't know what the damn Bow Wow wants.
I don't know either, DJ Rob. I do know, however, that this show, this episode has come to its conclusion. I want to thank everybody who's called in, including Marshmallow. Marshmallow, FM Jeff, VA Messenger, David, and Timothy. Thank you for calling the show. Thank you for being a part of it. Be sure to check out The Awful Hour tomorrow night, every Wednesday at 9. Best in Show, Mondays and Thursdays on HeroesTalk.com from 8 to 11. And I'd also like to say congratulations to Rob Giggs for his new daughter.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, buddy. Your family is expanding, and I couldn't be happier for you. God bless. God bless. Good luck in everything you do. Basically, what I'm saying, Frank, is just look at Germ Freak, Rob Giggs. Look at him, and don't do that. Do you want to be a successful parent? Look at what Frank does, and don't do that. Do you have any words of advice for Rob Giggs?
Not really.
Do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Are we ending the show?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go.
Do you have anything you want to say?
But this is us! Yeah, no! Shut up!
What, I don't get my turn?
Would you like anything else to say?
Nah, I'm good, thanks.
I forgot! It was the whole dark blue for David Lincoln. Rammstein.
Rammstein. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah! Hasha! Hasha! Give it to me, baby! Give it to me!
Go suck banana, fuck you!